Today we're going to have Todd Wilson, the family man, come and share with us. Many of you are familiar with the Family Man Ministries and Todd and his wife Debbie and how they travel around the country, at least for part of the year. Todd is sought after to speak at many conferences and churches, and so he shared with us. This is the seventh year being here. Todd has eight kids, and as we've said, shares on family, shares on parenting, shares on relationships, shares on our walk with the Lord, and just life in general. And over the past seven years, we've gotten to know Todd and Debbie, Cheryl and I, very personally. And what I so appreciate about Todd is that, first of all, he's the real deal. And they're real people, and they go through just the same stuff that we all go through. Anybody here going through some stuff today? And especially those of us who have kids, we got stuff and we got kids, and then there's kids stuff, and so all kinds of stuff. And so I love that Todd comes and shares. I'm always so encouraged. It was a few years ago when Todd shared a message that has really impacted Cheryl and I. And for those of you who were here, he talked about how in marriage and in parenting that it's hard, but it's good. And sometimes the hard things in life are also the good things. And so you hang in there because, yeah, it's hard. It's hard sometimes in marriage and it's hard sometimes in parenting, but it's a good thing that we're doing. So I can't tell you how many times Cheryl and I, as we're going through some stuff with our kids, you know, our kids aren't perfect, you know, because I guess they're hanging out with your kids or whatever, but just kidding. But we're going through it and one of us will turn to the other and say, it's hard, but it's good. And that has carried us through so many times. And even people have come up and shared with us and talked about how they're going through a certain thing, and then they'll stop and they'll say, you know, like Todd said, it's hard, but it's good. And what a great thing. You're going to be encouraged today. As I've listened to Todd in the last two services, Cheryl and I both said, we really needed to hear that today. And so I think you're going to be very encouraged in this today. So if you would, please give a very warm Calvary welcome for Todd Wilson, the family man.
Hi. All right. Well, it's good being back. It always feels like coming home. You know, 7 years. I can't believe this is my seventh time. And I see so many faces that I know, conversations that we've had from the past. Even as Dan was saying, you know, my message a couple years ago really meant something to him. Probably like last year meant nothing. But I'm glad a couple years ago, you know, something was stuck. I'm looking forward to this time together. I'm here with my family. I don't have my whole family. We do have eight children, but you know, like children do, you give them the best years of your life and then they abandon you. And say, you're on your own from now on. So we're in that point now, you know, where we've lost, not lost, but what do you do? You didn't lose them. They've moved on. I don't know. Is that what you're trying to say back there? You do hand gestures, you know. The sound guy's like trying to tell me what to say. They moved on, and a lot has happened in a year since the last time we were here. Since the last time I was here, I've had another grandchild, so now I have grandchildren, which, you know, that makes you even feel older. You don't need to applaud. I didn't do anything. I just showed up, you know. But it is an amazing thing, because my oldest son, Ben, and his wife, Rissa, they live right next door. And they have the two children. And, you know, once you get past the being old part of being a grandparent, it is an amazing thing. You know, it is just, there is nothing cooler than when my granddaughter, Renly, will yell across the yard and call me by my name, Pops. And, you know, even we're so blessed that we interact with them a lot. And so sometimes they'll be having their small group meeting and my wife and I will watch, and all our kids will watch their kids, and then we'll put them back down in their beds for the night. And my wife usually does Hudson, who's the my bud Hud, who's the newest grandchild, and I'll put Renly to bed, and Renly's like 2.5, and it is so precious to, because you know how, you know, when you have little kids, they do their little routine, and she has her little routine where she gets, you know, she's not supposed to have her pacifier, so she pulls it off her pillow, and she pops it in her mouth, and then she has this little pink princess tent, and she's a super princessy person. I mean, her parents, they have all the Ariel dresses, and they just have them all lined up. So she wears 3 or 4 a day, and I hardly ever see her in anything else. And so she's got her little princess pajamas on, and we climb in the tent together, and we read our Bible, and then we come out, and she lays her head on my cheek as I pray, and then I put her to bed. And it is so wonderful. But that's not all. Not only have we added another grandchild, but my second oldest son, Sam, he got married in March, and they bought I think I mentioned the last time, they were buying an $11,000 house, which even in Indiana is pretty cheap. And so they've gutted that, fixed it up, and they've begun their life together. And then my fourth oldest child, Ike, he got married in August in my yard. And we were led a little astray because Ben's wedding was also in my yard. And early on in their wedding, they said, oh, you know, we're going to have a few people. And I'm like, how many people? And they said, you know, we invited 500. They're not all coming. And you know, at the time, only 479 RSVP'd back. And so they were coming. But they didn't all come. And, but Ike's wedding, they said, oh, this is going to be a lot smaller. So, you know, I'm picturing, you know, 50 people. And by the time we were starting to talk about chairs and things, I said, how many people are coming? He goes, not as many, like 450 at the most. And so fortunately, only about 400 came. But it was so, and then a couple weeks after that, my daughter Catherine got engaged. So in the course of 1 year, we will have had 3 marriages. So this dad is feeling very full, you know, in a good way. It's stressful and it's hard. I mean, Dan was saying it's hard, but it's good. You know, that's not just a cute thing to say. It's true. It is hard. I mean, when he asked me this morning, when we first saw each other, he goes, how are things going? And I'm like, okay, you know? You know, because we've had some RV issues on the way down, and we haven't been out that long, and, you know, just, it's just hard. And but God's good in the midst of it, and it is good. And here's the thing I want to tell you today, encourage you today, is not to miss what really matters. You know, because that's what I do. I go around and I tell people about the things that matter. In fact, the little motto to the Family Man Ministries is reminding dads of what's most important. You know, and because it's about relationship. It's all about relationships. You know, when you strip away everything else, that's all you got left. And I remember that it was a mom who came up to me one time, and she had, we'd been talking and talking about relationship, and she came up and she had this like pad of paper in her hand and a little pencil in the other hand. And she looked like a reporter from the Daily Planet, you know, and she was asked, she had a question. And she said, so can you tell me, can you define what relationship is? You know, and as though she wanted to implement it that afternoon, you know, and make a chart or something so she knew she was going to do it. And I didn't really have a very good answer. I'm kind of like, well, you know, it's all that stuff that the matters and all that. And I didn't have a good answer then, but I have a good answer now. And that's what we're going to share this morning. In fact, I'm going to do something. This is pretty new for me. So I'm going to do something different than I've never. I'm going to do a multimedia presentation right here on this board. I don't know. You won't be able to see it. You're missing out. Can they see it? They can see it over there. Okay, that's. I am so easy. I wish you hadn't pointed that out. Because it's always weird to like see what you look from. Oh, there. I can see myself over there. Oh man. I can't focus now. So I'll try not to look. Well, we're going to do something in just a minute, but we're going to look at a passage in Scripture that's pretty familiar. This would be a great Mother's Day message. if it weren't October, you know. But it's a message for moms. Maybe next time I'll do some for dads. But this includes dads as well. In fact, it includes everybody. And it's in Luke chapter 10, and it's in around verse 38. We're going to start. And I'll just tell you again, you guys have an amazing church. Because when I said that, everybody looked down like you were gathering your Bibles or you're, you know, maybe you're just eating your muffins or whatever from out there. I don't know. But, you know, I was just at a church last week. It was a mega church, lots of people. And I'll tell you, it was scary. I mean, I'm not saying that like it was funny. It was scary. Like, you know, it was just a really unique church, huge church. I couldn't believe it. But it was, I told my wife, I was like, I think we should leave. You know, because I didn't want to be there. This is not like that church. This is an amazing church. And you are so blessed to have an amazing pastor, an amazing staff, and this great body of believers. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And I'm going to read it kind of fast now, and then we're going to kind of go back and look at the words a little closer. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And this is what we're going to focus on, this whole thing at the end. Where, you know, Mary has chosen something that will not be taken away from her. And I'll tell you, I'd heard lots of people speak on it. I mean, it was kind of one of those stories that everybody knew, even when you were young. And the conclusion that most pastors would say was, see, that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to sit at his feet and to pour out our love towards him. And in fact, when I was a kid in the 70s, there was even a chorus that was made on that passage. And it kind of went like, you know, one thing is needful, O my Father, one thing is needful, O my Lord, that I sit at your feet and pour out my love, you know. And when I heard that, it always confused me because, you know, I'm not stupid. But it didn't seem like maybe that was the point because I'm like, well, I don't even know where Jesus' feet are. You know, how do I pour out my love that way? Do I shut my eyes and I imagine him sitting next to me? And I'm going to like worship him towards his feet. You know, do I have to get in a position? And I don't think that's what it means. I think what Jesus was saying to Martha is that Martha, Mary has chosen relationship. Wait a second. Mary has chosen relationship. You know, the important stuff. And now if we look at that, we're going to define kind of what this means and how we can apply it to our lives as it relates to family. Because, you know, the weird thing is to me is that Martha was with Jesus and she missed it. She missed the part of Jesus. You know, I'm afraid that sometimes we're with the people around us and we miss the relationship. We miss them. And so let's start it again. So they're on their way to the village. Martha opens up her home, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, I'm convinced that Mary and Martha were both moms. You know, you're going to see why in just a minute. But, you know, the odds are pretty good, you know. And so Mary's over there, you know, sitting, listening to Jesus. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations that had to be made. Really, it could be worded this way. Martha was doing the doings. You know, she was doing her thing and she was distracted. When I think of distracted, you know, I think of you're distracted from what's most important by something else. You know, and in this case, what was Mary distracted by? Or Martha, what was she distracted from? Excuse me. The relationship. Again, she was missing Jesus because she was doing so much. You know, I know that when you're distracted, it's hard to focus. I remember one time I was driving our RV through the streets of downtown Boston. And Boston was designed, I think, by Paul Revere. Paul Revere had no idea that there were RVs coming along, you know? And so all the streets are super narrow. And because they're narrow, they have to make them one-way streets. And it was raining that night, and I was lost. And I was going down one-way streets the wrong way, and I didn't care because I was mad. And I'm like, I'm bigger than you. Get out of the way. You know, and my kids were starting, you know, they were very distracting at first, but they got quiet because they knew I might kill them. And I was frustrated, and they were distracting me from what mattered. When in actuality, I was being distracted by my RV from what mattered. Now, if we were to list all the things a mom might be distracted by, let's do that. You know, what are all the distractions a mom might have that she might even say have to be done, just like the Bible describes? So what are all the things a mom has to do? Dishes. Okay, now I'm not a very good speller, so I'll start scribbling here when they get too hard, so you can't tell. Dishes, laundry, cooking, everything. Okay, that's too easy. That includes, that's a short list. We'll say everything, which includes what? What? Cleaning. Oh, cleaning. Okay, cleaning. Work. Okay, outside, home, finances. What'd you say? Phone. Oh, that one hurt. Phone. Paperwork. Okay. Husband, we'll put him up top. Okay, teaching, transportation, cooking, shopping, what? Academics. Carpooling, MD, homeschool, if you do that. How about men? Let's add some things that might distract us. Because again, what are these distracting them from? They're distracting her from relationship. What are the things that men say? Well, we have to do that. Go ahead. Thank you, ma'am. She said, one said sports and the other said football. Yeah, Mr. Everything's kind of quiet now, right now, isn't he? Sports, football. Lawn. Chair. Car. Home. Ow. TV. What? Phone. Okay. Phone again. Social media. Work. Whoops, that's work. Nobody said, well, maybe social media, well, Facebook posts. We'll put that one up here too. You know, for me, I would have said RV because that's a big one right now. You know, all those things, the Bible says, you know, that she was distracted from what? The important thing, from the relationship, by all these things that we often say, and don't you hear it yourself say these things? They have to be done. Have to be done sound like that's pretty important, right? I mean, it has to be done. I mean, that means we put a lot of weight on that. And so Martha says, so she sees Mary, and then she came to him and asked. It sounds pretty soft, you know, like, oh, like she went over to Jesus and said something. That's not the way it's really written. It's written more like she burst forth, you know, which again, it sounds like a mom, you know, that she kind of stuffs it and she's looking at Mary. You know, she's enjoying serving for a while. She likes having her house nice and tidy for a while. And then she sees Mary over there sitting there, you know, and it's starting to bother her. And she finally goes to Jesus and says, you know, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? You know, tell her to help me. You know, which, you know, my kids will do the same thing. You know, if I ask one of them to do something and only one of them does it, which is, I'm still pretty glad for that, you know. And then the other one will say, yeah, but he's not doing anything. And so I'll say, hey, go help your brother. Maybe she, Martha expected Jesus to say, hey, Mary, you know, why don't you go help your sister? She looks like she's kind of tired, you know. That's a lot to do. There are a lot of people here, a lot to stand up. He doesn't do that. In fact, I wonder if Martha was very shocked by what he said, because he says this, Martha, Martha. And Jesus is so gentle, you know, and because it's kind of interesting that he says the name twice. You know, that doesn't happen very often in the Bible. Really, only about 8 times is someone's name used twice in an address from God or by Jesus. And each time, it's kind of a special thing, because Jesus knew Martha. He knew she was good at all this stuff. He knew where her bent was. He knew Mary's bent, too. And so he says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Really, it could be written, you're worried and upset by much. You're worried and upset by all this stuff. All this stuff. And then he says, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. What is the one thing that's needed? Tell me. Relationship. 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 But he doesn't stop there. He says this, Mary has chosen what is better. Relationship is better. Which implies, Martha, what have you chosen? What is worse? What is not good? What is not better? And here's the part that I think is a little hurtful. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Which implies, Martha, all the stuff you have chosen will be. It will be taken away from you. All these fine sandwiches, you know, that you made, they're going to be gone. You know, the dishes that you're going to clean, they're going to be put away. The laundry doesn't matter. You know, your Facebook post doesn't, you know, who cares? You know, all these other things, it doesn't. And in fact, we're going to say that. The relationship matters. And this doesn't matter. And I'm going to put a dot, 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 much. You know, the truth is, these things just don't matter much. You know, and it says they'll be taken away from you, in fact. When are they going to be taken away from you? I think, what'd you say, sir? You. He's nudging you. When you die. Yes, when you die. But sometimes even before that, right? I mean, we worry about our shiny things, and before you know it, it's scratched. And then it begins to rust. And then the next thing you know, you've traded it away. You know, those things that you've worked on, and all of a sudden, they've worn out. And even the Bible talks about where moth and rust doth corrupt. You know, and it's gone. In fact, we have a relative who has a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. I mean, a super lot of money. They have a beach home over in Naples at Port Royal, I think it's called. It's a club, and it's huge. It's a huge home, 8,000 or 9,000 square feet. It's right on the ocean. On the other side of the street, they also owned a home, because they wanted access to the Intercoastal Waterway so they could take their boats out to the ocean. They also owned helicopters and airplanes and jets and just about every car you can imagine. And they collected big toys like old Packards. In fact, they had a garage that looked like a Packard showroom. And they had great big chandeliers. It was really amazing. And they had everything. And then about 3 or 4 months ago, he died. And I went to the funeral. And at the funeral, there was a 1940-something beautiful Packard sitting right in front of the church doors. You know, obviously for a display. I think it even had a little easel there with you know, who this is. And they, I knew the car was owned by the old movie star, Betty Davis. And it was a beautiful car. You know, it was a $1 million car. And guess what happened to the, with all that stuff? It was taken away. In fact, that car is probably being sold now. You know, and in fact, he had a big old Harley that he would drive. She sold it at the funeral. You know? He left behind three children and some grandchildren and a wife. And guess what they long for? The relationship. You know what? Sometimes we are distracted by this and we miss our children. You know, because here's the, and we miss those around us. We miss our wife. We miss our grandchildren because we're so busy. We're so distracted from what matters. You know, and the word that really causes me trouble is this one right here, where Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better, what is good. Chosen means what? It was a choice. That's true. You know, it didn't matter about her bent. It didn't matter about, which maybe Martha was bent this way. Maybe Mary was bent this way. But Jesus acknowledged Mary chose it. It wasn't a natural thing. She just chose it, which says, Martha, you chose this. Now, we were going to talk about Martha, what do you think Martha's house looked like? Immaculate. You know, her sweaters were probably all lined up in color, you know, stacked up neatly. Her socks were probably all rolled up and put in those little organizers, you know. Her kids, what were her kids like? Oh, I bet you they were the smartest kids around because she demanded a certain level, you know. And what were her Facebook posts like? You know, everything looked great. Immaculate food, you know, amazing food, great parties. You know, she probably wrote amazing love notes to her husband who didn't even have a Facebook account. I don't get that one, but what did Mary's house look like? Normal. Yeah, maybe even a little messy. You know, what did her kids look like? Happy, smiling. They were the ones who's, you know, but came to church and one of their shoes was missing and they couldn't remember where it was. What did everybody say about Martha's family and Martha's home? Good stuff, right? She's an amazing person. She's a get-her-done-er. You know, when anybody needs something, ask Martha because she'll get it done. You know, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty if you're a get-her-done-er. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty if you are bent this way. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to choose what matters. I want you to choose relationship. You know, in fact, this may sound a little harsh, but if you're a husband or a man and you get to the end and you've got the shiniest cars, the biggest things, and the most stuff, you're a fool. Wives, if you've got the cleanest house and the neatest organized whatever, you get to the end and you're a fool because you've been distracted from what matters by stuff that doesn't matter much. You know, and still I'm going to guess some of you are thinking, yeah, Todd, but so tell me what the relationship art is. I know, you know, that it's good and it's better than this, but what's it look like? I'm glad you asked. Because I think we have a describing thing right here where he says, Martha's, you know, doing her thing. And then it says, and Mary is, I'm going to write it down here. Mary is sitting and listening and close to Jesus. I think that is a pretty good rule of thumb of when you're doing relationship. You know, that you, for one, you're sitting. You know, when your kids come up to you and you're busy and doing stuff, it's hard to focus in on them, isn't it? You know, but once you say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to look at you, then you kind of take yourself out of the game of whatever the distraction might be, and you're starting to focus, you know, and listening. It seems like all Mary does is she does a lot of talking. You know, she's always, Jesus, why didn't you? Why didn't you do this? Relationship is more listening. Abraham out there, and you'll see him in a little bit, he's the one who taught me about listening. When he was little, I remember one time my wife was typing on the computer in another room. I couldn't see him. And Abraham came in, and he was loud, and he was kind of persistent, you know. And he came in, and he's like, Mom. And Debbie goes, what do you need, Abraham? And she's typing. I could hear her fingers. I couldn't see her. And she's like, what do you need, Abraham? Mom, go ahead and tell me. I'm listening. Mom. Abraham, just tell me what you need. Mom. And I heard, Abraham, just say it. Mom. And I'm thinking in the other room, how long is this going to go on, you know? Finally, I hear the fingers stop typing. And that little boy didn't say mom one more time. Why is that? Because he knew that when someone's looking you in the eye, they're listening. Moms, dads, your children, doesn't matter what age they are, want you to listen to them. But I'll tell you, sometimes I'm not a very good listener. In fact, sometimes, you know, I get in that, I'm listening. Yeah, I can hear you. And sometimes I'll say, Dad, you never listen to me. Do you know what? If your kids say, it doesn't matter what age, if you're not listening to them, then you're being distracted by stuff that doesn't matter. TV doesn't matter. Sports doesn't matter. All your phone doesn't matter. Again, that's why I gave up my smartphone at one time, because I felt like I was always checking it. It was distracting me from relationship, you know? And so they need us to listen to them. They need us to be close to them. I think that's the touch part, you know, that when we're touching, we're doing relationship. And I'll tell you, sometimes that's hard, again, for me, because my kids decide they want to touch at all the awkward times, you know, like most inconvenient. Like if I'm standing here and one of my kids comes in, you know, they have different levels of engaging me. But sometimes, you know, I used to have one son, if I was standing there, he'd take my hand and he'd stick it on his head. So it was sitting on his head, but that wasn't enough. And then he'd take his other arm and wrap it around me, and then he'd wrap his legs around me. And so I'm talking to someone and we're like, I'm doing this, you know, and it feels super awkward, you know. And now I've got one of those, you know, a leech kid who loves to give you kisses, you know. And I can see him coming in for the kill, you know, because he's licking his lips, trying to get them as wet as humanly possible. And I know he's got one target on my face, and it is my lips. And I, you know, and so I'm trying to do this, you know, like this. But if he doesn't give up until finally grabs my face with those wet lips, and he plants it on me. And I'm tempted to go, not right now. But you know what? That stuff will not be taken away from me. When will it not be taken away from me? Ever. You know, and that's, in fact, really one of the reasons I did those little wooden nickels that we have out there. I'm sure I brought them last time. But on their little wooden nickels, tokens that I thought, you know, I made them so dads could give them to their kids when their kids needed relationship. And I thought, you know, on one side it says you to dad, on the other side it says an hour of dad time. And, you know, the idea was if they could just get an hour of time with dad. And so I gave them to my kids and I thought, oh, you know, they'll redeem them someday. And so one day I was doing something important that didn't matter much, on my computer, and my son came and he set that nickel right down on my desk, right in front of me. And I'm like, this is a stupid idea. Why did I ever do this? Because I was doing stuff that was important that didn't matter much. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? He said, I just want to do an hour of carpet ball. Now, carpet ball, we have like this long table, and you take these balls and you knock off, you know, you slide them down, knock off the other ones. And, you know, I'm watching the clock tick here, but when you play carpet ball, the clock doesn't tick. It just stops. And I said, okay, we'll play an hour. And he goes, I want to keep score, too. So we played over 100 games of carpet ball. We kept score, and I won. I think it was like 54 to 49 or something like that. And afterwards, I took that little wooden nickel, and I wrote on there, Jed and Dad play carpet ball. I put the date. I put the score. And then I set it on my desk. And I know it'll be there until I die, because that's how I am. And I know that when my kids and my wife go through my office, they'll get to that little wooden nickel and they'll go, oh, and throw it away. Because they don't care. They think I'm a hoarder. And when it hits the bottom of the trash can, they will never, ever know that it was an hour spent with a child that will never be taken away from me. Ever. We take it with us forever. Because it is a sad, sad, sad thing to me that Martha missed Jesus, and she was handing him sandwiches. She was cleaning up his plates. He was there, sitting right there, and she missed it. What troubles me is that some of us are going to miss our children, miss our spouse when they're sitting right there because we were distracted. I mentioned my RV, you know. I've had some RV issues. And my mind has been focused on one thing. My kids don't care at all. They're like, hey, Dad, you know, look at this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, uh-huh. Was that a noise that I just heard on the RV? And I'm afraid. And one day, I won't even care about this anymore. You know, so I think this week, you know, whenever you're a child is near you, no matter what age, a grandchild is near you, no matter what age, your spouse is near you, no matter what age, let's do this. Sit down, maybe touch them, and listen. Because that is the one thing that will never be taken away from you. You know, again, I'm seeing this happen right in my own house because it's going by so quickly. In fact, I'm going to tell a story that I've told here at least once in the last 7 years. And I used to tell it when my kids were little, thinking that it would happen one day. You know, because it's around bedtime. It always happens at bedtime. This is the bedtime story. And always at bedtime, when I turn off the lights, my kids always want to tell me how much they love me. You know, and it's kind of cool, but it gets prolonged, you know, maybe a little too long. And so it kind of goes like, you know, I turn off lights and they go, good night, Dad, I love you. And I say, I love you too. And they'll say, four fingers, Dad. And maybe you remember, four fingers in my house means I love you more. And I say, four fingers. And they go, okay, good night, I love you. And I said, hey, I already said I love you once. We don't need to keep saying it. And they'll go, okay, good night, Dad, love you. And I'm like, did you just hear me? I said, I know you love me. You love me. I love you. We've said it. We don't need to keep saying it. Okay, good night, Dad. Four fingers. I'm like, I already did that. I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't need to keep doing it. Dad, please. I'm not going to. Dad, come on. I'm not. Okay? Dad, there I did it. Now go to bed. Okay, good night, Dad. I love you. And I'm like, would you just stop that? I mean it, you know? And I try to, you know, keep him from doing it. And then I finally get up to my bed and I drop into bed because I'm tired from doing a day of stuff that doesn't matter much, and I hear those footsteps running down the hallway towards my bedroom, and I'm thinking, this would be a good night to die. And I hear the footsteps outside my door, and they sound like they stop. I can't see my doorway because I'm in this little sweet thing, and I listen for like 15 seconds of silence. And then I hear a small whisper that says, four fingers, Dad. And I used to say, you know, one day the hallway's going to be dark and I'm going to miss it all. Never thinking that it would really ever happen. I thought it would be like a really long time from now, you know, like when you're so old you can't even remember anything. But it's happening now. In fact, on February the 15th, of my 8 children, 4 will be gone for good. Is that the right way I should have said it? Okay. And I know it won't be but about that much longer after that that the other 4 will be gone. And I know that I know me. And I will stand at the end of my hallway in the dark. And I will close my eyes and I will wish I could hear 4 fingers, Dad. 4 fingers. But it won't be there. You know, there are lots of distractions by lots of things that seem like they need to be done. In fact, husbands, when you hear your wife say, "Well, I have to do this," you say, "No, you don't, because it doesn't matter much." Husbands or wives, when you hear your wife say, "Yes, but I have to watch this or do this," you say, "No, you don't, because it doesn't matter much." And you get this right. You get this right. Because if you do, it will never, ever be taken away from you. You know, but here's the sad thing, the rest of the story. You know, Mary and Martha, they had a brother, remember? Old Lazarus. Lazarus had an untimely death. Fortunately, you know, he came back to life. But when he died, they had a funeral for him. You know, they plopped him in the grave. And the Bible even tells us that apparently there was some kind of gathering happening. And everybody was there. Mary was there doing relationship, comforting people, listening to their stories. And Martha heard Jesus was coming. So Martha did something. And so she runs out to meet Jesus. And, you know, she's like, "Jesus, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened." You know, because she's a solver. This wouldn't have happened if you'd been here. Even now, I know you can fix it. So you better go fix it. And of course, Jesus did fix it. And later on, there's another gathering. Because now Lazarus is alive. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus are there. And they're all talking to Lazarus. And guess what? It says, the Bible says, Martha's doing the serving. And Mary's listening. And she's still missing it. I'm telling you, you may have a bent this way. You choose. You choose. There are no victims here. We need to choose relationship because it's the only thing that matters. Hey, thanks for allowing me to be here again. No, you don't need to do that. I hope that even Dan said, Pastor Dan said, "Oh, next year, you know, when you're here on Family Man Sunday," I'm liking the ring of that, Family Man Sunday. So maybe you'll think about me again next year when, you know, you get out those fake fall arrangements and pretend like it's fall. that I'll be here again. I'm going to pray for you, then I'm going to let you go. Father, we just thank you for this time to talk and to laugh and to be reminded again of what matters. We thank you that you were so gentle with Martha. And I just pray you'd be gentle with us now. And maybe we'd put our name in there. And we'd hear, "Todd, Todd, you're bothered and worried about so much. But only one thing matters. Help me to choose the right thing in an RV that sometimes doesn't work right. Or in a house that seems messy. Or kids who don't seem like they're getting it. Or maybe in just the busyness of life." I pray for all these parents that they would choose the thing that matters, the thing that will not be taken away, and that together we would not care as much about those things that don't matter. And we pray all this in your name, and all the moms and all the dads and everybody else said, amen.